Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor and founder of the company Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. Thank you for joining us. This is the show where we really aim to help you become a more intelligent real estate investor, and we answer your questions. It's Q&A day here on the show. So you can go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton and leave us a 30-second voicemail question, questions that you have about real estate investing, financing, taxes, it doesn't matter. We will try to answer it for you here live on the show. All right, our first question today comes to us from Tim. Tim, take it away.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Tim. My question is with regards to duplex acquisitions. You had said with regards to single families, the most you would pay is $125,000. With regards to a duplex acquisition, where should the ceiling on the purchase price be? Should I just double it to $250,000? Or should I base the purchase on the duplex solely on percentages for gross ROI, net ROI, 1%, et cetera? Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Well, you kind of answer your question right there towards the end. And it, you know, really depends. I've said 125, I've actually said as high as 175,000 on single family homes. You know, it depends on the range, and obviously it depends on the rent, it depends on the taxes, it depends on the area, it depends on the vacancy rate. So there's a lot that goes into that, but that's just like a rule of thumb. Once you start pushing past that number on a single family, chances are the rent to purchase price is not going to be there. It's not going to be commensurate with, you know, we get a lot of California investors, right? Because to invest in California, you'd have to be crazy, right? So they invest out of California and they'll invest with us in Texas and places where we build our new construction properties. So a home that we are able to build for, you know, $200,000, $250,000 or something, you're in the same house in California, would be like $1.2 million. And so the cost of that rent is never going to catch up to the cost of the house. It's just not going to make sense on a single family. So things to think about on the single family front. Yes, it all comes down to the numbers. Tim, though, to your question and answer about, you kind of answered it yourself on a duplex, the same thing's going to apply. It's going to come down to the ROI. And we have a whole video here on the channel about internal rate of return. So I will link that up in the description for you, the IRR. You just got to remember that if you've got a tenant in a property, two tenants in a property, cash flowing, a new construction property, on top of that, where you're able to write off the purchase of that, the down payment, basically getting that back on your taxes, and you're able to cash flow above your expense level significantly, where that tenant is now building up the equity in that home for you. And so you're building equity on the backs of that tenant by them having a great place to live in an A-class school district. And it really just comes down to those numbers. It's just going to come down to that IRR. What does that look like on paper? And if you are just breaking even, now you have to remember the reason that duplexes right now are so special and single families is because the internal rate of return is fantastic. And on the commercial side, I'm talking like 6, 8, 10 units. A lot of my commercial investor friends over the past number of years have basically just been sitting on their hands. They can't find anything with the types of internal rate of return that you can get on those smaller multifamily properties. They're just not getting them because they've already been improved. The house, the apartment complex has already been improved upon. And so there's nowhere extra way for them to add value to increase rents. It's just not going to be there for them. So they're getting like a 2% return or 1% return or even breaking even. A lot of Chinese investors had been buying up those larger multifamilies because they didn't care that they weren't getting any kind of a return. They just wanted their money out of China. So when you saw people still buying these 50-unit apartment complexes, but they're literally getting a 0% return, it's like Chinese investors that just want a tax haven to get their money out of China. I don't want that. I want cash flow, and I want a great return on my investment. And so to answer your question, yes, it comes down to those numbers. And I think once you start running those numbers and you understand the tax benefits and you also understand perhaps the cost segregation analysis that you're getting handed as a part of that purchase and that you're able to then depreciate that asset much more quickly in that first year so that you're getting basically an infinite return on your investment, then it becomes a game changer. So yeah, I'd be happy to help you, Tim. Book a call with our team and we can go further with you at morrisinvest.com. All right, our next question comes to us from Jennifer.
Clayton, hey, I have a question for you. We've had two rental properties, single family homes, that the renters moved out in the last 6 months or so. And both of them left the house trashed and didn't pay the last month's rent. One house between fixing what they trashed and waiting for contractors to get work done, we were out about 14 grand. And this is a rental that we make $1,200 a month on. The other one, same scenario, between they left an exorbitant amount of pets that we had no idea about. They literally left pets in the home, lizards and snakes and fish that had to be removed and rehomed. And then cleaning the house and replacing carpets in the works, that was, that one was 12 grand. Luckily that one got turned around quicker. So I'm at a loss. Our property managers have sent them invoices for what they owe, but they're not going to pay it. So my question to you, do we take them to small claims court? What do we do? I think might even be out of small claims court for how much they owe. Again, we're at a loss. I'd love to hear your feedback and what you think. Thank you.
Oh, Jennifer, I'm sorry to hear that. That's tough. First of all, I'd want to know, you didn't tell me where these properties were. It sounds like it might not be I'm hoping it's not a larger issue here with this particular area. I mean, is it an area that you might not want to be investing in the first place? I'm just curious about that. I'm not passing judgment, but it sounds like if you have that kind of turnover where these tenants are trashing the property and two of them in a small, like that could be an issue here. Is it maybe a rougher area? I just want to understand that, number one. Number two, I'd want to find out like, what is the property manager doing that they hadn't checked on these tenants to find out, have pets and checking in on them and to confirm that, doing sort of quality assurance check-ins like our property managers do to make sure that kind of stuff is not happening. That's also important to look at. And again, I'd want to know what the screening process is from my property managers. Like with the property managers that we work with at Morris Invest, like that's not going to, I mean, cross, you're always going to have a bad tenant from time to time, but they're going to do some extensive screening to make sure that there is no bigger problem at play here where they're not going to pay their security deposits. I mean, they're not going to pay their rent and they're going to walk away and all of that stuff. We want to have things in place to make sure that doesn't happen ahead of time in the screening process. So just some things to think about on the property management side. That sticks out to me first. Second, on the going to court thing, I mean, we had a contractor years ago who, basically we paid him $15,000 to do work that he didn't do and just skipped town. We couldn't find him. It's the risk reward. My father-in-law has a good rule of thumb on going to court. He's a businessman. If you're in business, you deal with lawyers, you go to court. This is what you deal with. If you're a business person and you're an entrepreneur, if you don't want any of that drama, then you just work for somebody else, a W-2 job, get your paycheck, don't put anything away. Don't have don't have cash flow. Don't have a future, in wealth building. But then you don't have to deal with some of that drama. So it's kind of a risk reward in that way. His rule of thumb is, look, if the cost is there, like if I've lost more than I think his threshold is like $30,000 or $35,000, then I weigh going to hiring a lawyer and going after that. But for the most part, if it's going to be under $25,000 or under $30,000, the amount of time that you're going to spend hiring a lawyer, getting a retainer for $5,000, right, for a lawyer, or even $10,000 for a good lawyer. So now you're out of pocket, more money just to retain a lawyer, and then to go through the process of trying to get money from a stone. If they don't have money, how are they going to pay you? Right. So now you're trying to like squeeze money out of a stone, and good luck with that. Right. That's just not going to happen. If there is no money, there's no money to get. And sure, you could go through the process of like getting a default judgment and then garnishing wages and all of that. But then are they even working, and where is that money going to come from? So It's a risk reward. I would definitely think about the total sum here and talk to a lawyer about that. Get legal advice. Obviously, lawyers are going to want to make money. So, but I would definitely caution you. And then the other thing you have to remember is that when you go through the legal process, it always sucks the life out of you. Even if you're in the right, which you are, right? They owe you money. They owe you money and they haven't paid it. It's always going to suck the life out of you. Doesn't matter if you're on the winning side or you're on the I'm on the right side of this. It's going to take from your life essence. It absolutely will. It always will, because now you'll be on the phone. You'll be dealing with paperwork. You'll have to go to court. All of that stuff. It's going to suck the life out of you. So another thing you may want to consider is pandemic assistance and rental assistance. They didn't pay their rent. And is there a reason why they didn't pay their rent? And is pandemic related? And there are rental assistance programs throughout the country right now that's just been sitting there, billions of dollars that's been available that states have not, that people have not even taken advantage of. So there might be rental assistance money that you might be able to gain access to through your state at the pandemic level assistance for rental assistance to be able to gain some of that money back as a result, and maybe even some of the damages as a result of these tenants who weren't paying and then left the place trashed may also be covered. So again, reach out to your state and your county and look at some of those options. And then at the end of the day, these expenses are write-offs on your taxes. This is a business expense. This is a bad year for your business, and we hope to bounce back next year, you know, and have great strong income and rental income over the next few years by making sure that the screening process is done correctly on the tenants and that these tenants are going to stay there a nice long time. And so we'll turn this ship around. At the end of the day, we all go through periods of this with tenants and tenant placement. But the idea is to try to mitigate some of that. So great question, Jennifer. I hope I helped you in some way, point you in some different directions on this. I know it might not be the answer you want, but you know, seek legal help here. Give them a call and see at least what the pain and suffering will look like to try to collect some money from these people. And if there's any gold pot at the end of this rainbow and a leprechaun. All right. Next question is from Seal.
Hey, Maurice, how are you doing today? This is Seal, and I'm calling from Fort Worth in Texas. I just got a quick question for you. If you have $20,000 to $25,000 to invest in anything that is profitable, do you think this is a good amount of money that you can invest in real estate? Thank you for your response.
Thank you, Seal. I appreciate it. I mean, yes, $25,000 is a great way to get started with real estate investing. And you know, you might have other untapped things. So if you've got $25,000 in cash, and again, I always use sort of our properties as a frame of reference. So if we're building a new construction property, let's say you worked with us, the down payment is going to be in that $40,000 range, right? So you've got $25,000. Do you have another $15,000 that's in an IRA that's been sitting there? Or maybe you could borrow from your 401k, not withdraw, but borrow from it to make up some of the difference, or partner with someone else, go in together and forming an LLC together as friends, as partners, brother, whatever, sister, uncle, and coming together on an investment property so you're not having to put up all of the cash out of your pocket. I mean, interest rates are incredibly low right now. So even if you didn't work with us to find a property that you could put $25,000 as a down payment, as long as you watch our video here on the channel, I'll link it up in the description about what we look for in different rental markets. Go through that video. Make sure, and we go more detail, but you know, make sure you're investing in great school districts. Make sure that it's an area that has multiple job opportunities, not just one employer, not just one oil refinery, but I'm talking technology companies, universities, healthcare companies, et cetera. So there's a multiple of jobs, low crime, great property management teams, like all of those things. So these are things to look for in an area that you're going to invest. And again, $25,000 is a little bit lower than the down payments that are the minimum that we work with, but you probably have other untapped things that you might not have known you have access to. You may be sitting on equity in the home you live in, right? As a form of a home equity line of credit that you could pull out just to get a little bit of extra there. So real estate absolutely is still my favorite. But maybe you're not ready for that yet. You know, maybe at the end of the day, you can't find a property. You just can't pull any extra funds together. And that may be an opportunity for you to say, okay, $15,000, what can I do with this? Or $25,000. Maybe I look at investing right now in some things that can bring some nice returns, you know, in some sort of a savings account that can provide some returns over the long run. Whether it's putting your money in some sort of stable coin play that can bring a higher rate of return than just your average savings account. Those are things to consider. But again, I would think to look at some of the other options you might have that you haven't thought of, you know, whether it's a 401k that you can borrow from and, an old IRA that's just sitting there that you left a job and it's $15,000 just sitting there waiting for you. I know that was the case when I left a job. I had one that was like $23,000 sitting there, and it just sat for years, and I didn't do anything with it. I just thought I couldn't do anything with it. You know, I didn't know what I was doing at the time, and I was able to use that to start investing in real estate at some point. So, Seal, I hope that answers your question. If you have any follow up questions for us, please, you know, I'd love to hear a follow up. And so, drop us a call here. Just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton, leave us a voicemail question, and we will attempt to answer your real estate or investing related questions. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.